Heavenly Father, it's a joy and a privilege and an honor to come unto you this morning, but through way of song and praises and thanksgiving unto you for all you do for us each and every day. We thank and pray that this ministry would be a blessing unto that needy heart this morning, that needy soul, that one who is, just needs someone to meditate on, and to someone whom can, whereby they can be a testament, and this ministry would bless them in a special way today, regardless of that one who may be afflicted with an illness today or just needs an uplifting hand upon them. Touch them in a special way today as they listen to the gospel by the radio ministry we present unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning us in today. You are listening to the Old Fashioned Gospel Hour, brought to you by the Clear Creek Congregation. At this time, Kathleen Ford is coming. She's going to be singing "When the Saints Come Marching Home."
Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. Trumpet sound. Oh, when I hear that trumpet sound. trumpet sound. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in. Stars fall from the sky. Oh, when the stars fall from the sky. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. When the stars fall from the sky. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in. Oh, when the sun refused to shine. Oh, when the sun refused to shine. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. When the sun refused to shine. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching in.
A little bit of paradise. Gazing out my open study window, I hear the birds chirping and hear and see the windy, wind gently blowing in the trees. Bales of hay dot my neighbor's newly tilled field, and large white cumulus clouds stand out in contrast to the brilliant blue sky. I'm enjoying a little bit of paradise, except for the almost incessant noise of the traffic that runs past our property and the slight ache in my back. I use the word paradise lightly because through our world was once completely good, it no longer is. When humanity sinned, we were expelled from the Garden of Eden and the ground was cursed, Genesis 3. Since then, the earth and everything in it has been in bondage to decay. Suffering, disease, and death are all in the result of humankind's fall into sin. Yet God is making everything new. One day his dwelling place will be among his people in a renewed and restored creation, a new heaven and a new earth, where there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away, Revelation 21:1-4. Until that day, we can enjoy the bright splashes and sometimes wide expansions of breathtaking beauty we see all around us in this world, which is just a tiny, tiny foretaste of the paradise that will be. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him.
Thank you.
Once again, we want to say thank you for tuning us in today. This is the Old Fashioned Gospel Hour, brought to you over WSKE 104.3 FM. At this time, Kathleen Forrest coming once again. She's going to be singing, I'll Fly Away.
Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life have grown, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars has flown, I'll fly away.
Our songs this morning have been speaking about heaven, and just before the pastor's wife gives a children's story, the group is going to be singing, He the Pearly Gates Will Open.
Yeah. Laying Burdens Down. As soon as Todd got his work schedule for the month, he called his friend Peter. Peter had shown an interest in hiking, and Todd was experienced at it, having hiked many of the trails in the mountains around the United States. He had a few days in a row off from work and called Peter to let him know. "It's perfect timing," said Peter. "Since our company will be shut down for the week, I don't even need to rearrange my schedule. So, what do I need to get?" "What if we get together this coming Saturday? Bring everything you already have to my house, and we'll go from there," Todd suggested. "Sounds like a plan," Peter responded. "See you then." When he was not at work, Todd busied himself for the next few days getting out all of his own hiking equipment. He pulled out anything he had doubles of just in case Peter needed it. He figured anything Peter would not have to buy, the better, especially if he decided he did not like hiking. "So, your hiking trip is coming up soon, I see," Todd's wife Lisa said as she carried dirty clothes into the basement. "Yep," answered Todd. "I just hope an opportunity comes up when I can easily share the gospel with him. He's done a lot of listening lately, and I've been doing a lot of praying to say the right words." "I've been praying too," Lisa commented. "I know Peter's been on your heart for a long time." Lisa then went back upstairs, leaving Todd with his mess and his thoughts. Todd prayed, "Lord, I pray that you will open the door for me to further witness to Peter. He's had a lot of questions that I've done my best to answer, but I think he needs something a little more personal to fully understand so that he can take that step of trusting you as Lord and Savior of his life. I pray that I would be open to your leading. Help the words that I say point to you." Todd continued praying as he worked. Before too long, he was pretty much all packed, except for some food. He also had a pile of things that Peter could borrow, if necessary. On Saturday morning, Peter arrived at the appointed time. "Hey, Todd, can you help me bring in my stuff?" "Sure." When Todd saw what Peter had in the back of his truck, he could not help but burst out laughing. "What's so funny?" Peter wondered. "If you need help carrying all the stuff inside my house, who do you think is going to lug it around while we're hiking?" Peter threw a friendly sneer Todd's direction. "I told you this is my first time to hike." "Well, I can see you have been camping," Todd said as he sorted through things and immediately decided what was not going. "You don't need the camping chair or the tent. Grab your backpack and bring it in, and we'll go from there." Todd picked up the backpack, or at least tried to, so that he could hand it to Peter. "Ouch!" He rubbed his shoulder. "What have you got in there?" Peter shrugged. "Not much. Just some food. A man's got to eat." He grinned. Todd just stared at him for a moment, then shook his head and walked toward the house. Peter followed close behind. When they got to the basement, Peter started picking up and examining some of Todd's hiking gear. "All right," Todd began. "Empty your backpack and let me see what you've already got in there. That will help me decide what you still need." As Peter pulled out can after can of food, Todd groaned. "What?" Peter wondered. "I brought enough for both of us." Without a word, Todd grabbed an empty box that was sitting nearby and started filling it with the canned goods and the bottles of water. "This is what you're taking back home," he told Peter. "What am I supposed to do for water?" "Camel pack and water filter." Todd held up the items as he mentioned them, then handed them to Peter. "These are light," said Peter. "Much lighter than several bottles of water." "What about food?" Peter wondered. "I need to get a few more things, but this is what we'll be eating." Peter held up a metallic envelope of dry food. "All you have to do is add hot water, and it's much lighter than all of your cans." Peter was surprised at the weight, or lack of weight, of the envelope. Todd continued replacing Peter's items until he had a backpack that weighed just under 30 pounds, as opposed to one that weighed more than 100 pounds, and it did not even contain everything he needed. Later that evening, Todd laughed as he told his wife all that Peter thought he could carry. "I think God has answered your prayer," she said when he was finished. "About what?" about finding a way to talk to Peter. He is so busy carrying around heavy burdens from this life that he doesn't even realize that once he lets God take care of them, the walking and the living will be so much easier, she explained. Todd was silent for a moment. I hadn't even thought of that. I guess I have something to talk about our first night around the campfire. Thanks, Lisa, he said, and gave her a kiss goodnight. Todd continued to pray that God would give him the right words. While they relaxed by the fire that first night, God opened the door for Todd to share. Thanks for helping me with my pack. I can't imagine what hiking the trail would have been like with everything I had brought, said Peter. Todd smiled. You're welcome. Doing all that reminded me of the Christian life. Before we trust in Christ, we have to try and carry all our burdens ourselves. Those burdens can be things in our past that have hurt us, or that we regret doing, or any number of things. But life is so much easier to bear when we drop those burdens at the foot of the cross and let God take care of them. You know all about my past, Peter began quietly. I do. Peter's past had often come up in their spiritual discussions. I don't know how God can take care of all that, Peter commented. Todd shrugged his shoulders. I don't know how, but I do know he can, if you will only let him. I know you've been praying for me, said Peter. I have, but you are the one who has to yield to God. Both of the men were silent for several minutes. One was praying and the other was thinking. Finally, Peter said, I've been putting a lot of thought into all that we talked about the last few months. Peter paused. Todd patiently waited for him to continue. I think I'm ready to pray and ask God to take all my burdens. I've been trying to do it my way for a long time, but that is obviously not working, said Peter. Both of them knelt by the fire. Peter poured out his heart to God while Todd silently prayed. When Peter was done praying, they went back to sitting by the fire. Peter smiled. No one's going to believe what happened on this hiking trip. Noticing the sparkle in Peter's eyes that had nothing to do with the fire, Todd said, Oh, I think they will.
We need to take every opportunity that we can to share the gospel with other people, to tell them about Jesus Christ. God opens the doors. He says in the book of Revelation in chapter 3, he said, I open doors, I close doors. When he opens them, no man can shut them. When he closes, no man can open them. So when God opens the door for us to witness to somebody, pray ahead of time and say, Lord, prepare their heart. And if God prepares their hearts, then let us walk through that door, present the gospel to them. They have the free will then, either to accept or reject. It's all with them then after that, but it's up to us to share the gospel with them. We'll get ready to write the Bible question down. We're going to give you that next question after we give you the answer to last week and those who had the right answer. Last week, I asked the question, when did Naomi return to Bethlehem? Well, Ruth 1:22, it was the beginning of the barley harvest. Mike and Patty Feaster, Lisa Miller, Ron and Dolores Boffman, Tom and Joanne Detweiler, Randy Miller, Paul and Joanne Peachy, Rick and Tanya Valentine, Leslie Miller, April Elliott, Jonah Elliott, Aaron Elliott, Mark and Deb Rosentrader, Doris Four, Marlon and Donna Jean Lynch, and Mark and Linda Householder. All these had the right answer, and we're so thankful for each and every one that did that. Appreciate you listening to the broadcast, calling the answer in. Some I know, look it up. They mark the questions down, but they don't call them in. That's okay. I appreciate that. Listening to the broadcast. We are broadcasting over the radio station in Everett, WSKE 104.3 on the FM dial. Been broadcasting for a number of years. And we trust that not only you're listening to the radio broadcast, but if you're out of the area and you have what they call a smartphone, you can access it by internet, clearcreekbic.com. Click on the media and the recordings. And the radio, you can listen to it when you're out of town. We put these on after it comes on the air. So, and if you have trouble in some way with that, find some kid If you're older like me, you have trouble with your phone doing something, find some kid. They can help you with that. For next week, now I want you to tell me, what country did Jeremiah say is like a very fair heifer? What country did Jeremiah say is like a very fair heifer? What country? And when you found the answer, give me a call, 814-652-6409 or 814-977-6642. That last number you can also text me. And remember, if you text me with the answer and you don't get a text back, check with me. Sometimes I get distracted. Maybe I didn't get it. You're listening to the Old Fashioned Gospel Hour over the Everett radio station, WSKE 104.3 on the FM dial. We invite you to come worship with us at Clear Creek. We're located a mile and a half south of Everett along Route 26. Sunday school 9:30, worship at 10:30, Sunday nights and Wednesday nights then at 7 p.m. The Breezewood area, Missy Beal, pastor of the Mountain Chapel Church, invites you there. Sunday school is 9:30, worship 10:30, Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Then in the Fishertown area, the people of the Spring Hope Church invites you there. Sunday school is at 9:30, worship at 10:30, every second and fourth Sunday night at 7 p.m. Then down Hindman Way, Brother Nathan Elliott, pastor of the Glad Tidings Tabernacle Church, invites you there. They don't have Sunday school right now in the summer months. Worship services at 10:30. Then out 26 North, Kenny Heinisch, pastor of the Yellow Creek Church, invites you there. Sunday school is 9:30, worship at 10:30. And then if you're in the Crystal Springs area, Patrick Traxler, pastor of the Breezewood United Wesley United Parish, invites you there. They have Sunday or worship service at 9:30 and prayer meeting on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. And they meet in the Old McKendry Church located on Old 126 in Crystal Springs. Now, beginning tomorrow, the Yellow Creek Church is having their Bible school. We just finished up our Bible school here at Clear Creek. I had a good Bible school. They're beginning their Bible school at, I think, 6:30 in the evening till 9:15. And some children, they go to all the Bible schools around that they can, and that's good. I don't remember going to Bible school when I was younger. They had them, I'm sure, but we were unchurch family. But it's good to see these kids going there for that. This morning, I'm going to read Romans 8:28. It's a scripture I think probably most are familiar with. It says that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, when we think about the alls of God, there are many places in the Bible we could draw from. If you were to do a search on a Bible program, you would find a multitude of places where the word all is used. Well, today I'm thinking about the alls in this message, different places, particular places, not all of them. We don't have enough time. So several places, and that speaks about the alls of God. The alls in this message cover from creation to the final end. Now, first off, in John 1:3, it says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. God created the world and all things in it out of nothing. Now, many will try and say that this world and universe and animals and man, they evolved from simple life or out of nothing, life forms. Now, and then here we are. You know, I read a poem, something like that, first out of amoeba, then this and that. I'm a monkey in a tree. Now I'm a professor with a PhD. And, it's kind of funny you think about that, but that's exactly what it is when people try to tell you. We came from nothing. They say, when we say about a miracle, God did a miracle, say, ain't no such thing as miracle. We realize when people say that there is a evolution, every stage of evolution would have to make a miracle. They have to be a miracle because you're changing things so radically. And evolution, so it goes, they go against one another, and they don't realize that when they're saying that. These man evolved from simple life forms. They try to tell us that water ran down over some rocks, and from that came the amoeba, then more complex life forms, and eventually man. But the Bible's clear. God created and made all things, and he did that from nothing. Now, when a person makes a cake, builds a house, a car, and so on, they have to begin with materials. But God took nothing, and made it into this world, universe, stars, animals, and man. God simply spoke, and it happened. He said, "Let there be," and it was. Let it be. He just spoke the word, and there it was. He said, "Let the waters bring forth," and they did. The all of creation is God's handiwork. The world we live in is a beautiful place, but think how more beautiful it'll be once the curse is lifted. Well, we see the beauty all around us, yet this beauty is tainted by the curse because of man's sin. We've been through a time here of so a lot of humidity in the air, and you get up in the morning, you see the fog. And if you're up in a high position like we are, you look over the valley and you see the fog hanging down in the valley on top of the mountain, and you see the greenery all around and say, isn't that a beautiful sight? We see animals around, birds. We say, aren't they beautiful? And they are. But think, we can't imagine how beautiful it's going to be in the new heaven and the new earth. This world is tainted by the curse because of sin, but yet there is a lot of beauty. Think about after a rainstorm. You look out there, the sun's shining, there's that beautiful rainbow in the clouds. Looks like it's one end of the, and you go try to follow it. I remember as a kid, I tried to follow a rainbow one time, see where it was, and you can't, just go on ahead of you. And think how beautiful it's going to be in the new creation. But it's the all of God. God did all of that. Well, the second one I think about is Romans 3:23. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now, some like to think that they aren't sinners. They say, "Well, Adam was the sinner. I'm innocent." No, you're not. You're not. You're not innocent. A baby is innocent, but not you or I. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every man and woman has come short of the glory of God. We are all as unclean things, the scripture says. Isaiah says, "But we are all as unclean thing, and we are, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." So there we have a couple walls. We're all unclean. We're sinful. And all the good things that we do that we like to count for, say, God has to look at that and think on me as being righteous. And the Bible says we're all sinners. And all the things that we count as being good, should be good in his sight, are as filthy rags. When we think of something being unclean, we think perhaps disease, dirt, unusable, and so on like that. Well, this is what humanity is. We're all unclean. In and of ourselves, we are not fit for heaven. It's only through the blood of Christ that we are made fit for heaven. How would you like you're being operated on, and say you have a spinal so that you can watch what they're doing, and they're going to place some kind of prosthesis in your leg or something like that. Say like they're going to put a hip in there. And they drop it on the floor, and the floor is covered with dirt, and they bring it up, take it up, they dust it off a little bit, and they put it in there. He said, "Don't put that in there, it's dirty." Well, they wiped it off, didn't they? Well, you see, this is the way we are, humanity. We've all sinned. We've come short of the glory of God. No matter how clean we try to wipe ourselves, no matter how clean we try to make ourselves, we are guilty and dirty before God. We are all as unclean things. So we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then the third one is after we get saved. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." When a person comes to Christ and confesses his sin and need, he's saved. He's forgiven. God regenerates that person and makes all things new. He or she has a new life. He no longer does what he or she used to. They no longer live on the lower level of sin that they did before. That's why whenever someone say they're a Christian, but yet they're living in the low plane of sin, some can honestly say, well, the fruit looks like they aren't saved, that they're a sinner. Now, I know there has to be teaching and training for people to understand the way they live, because God says, teach them line upon line, precept upon precept, teach them the right way. Learn right things, he says through Isaiah. Learn to do good, because we don't know to do good. This world that we live in teaches us that bad things are good. And people do those things and they say, well, I've always been told it's okay. We had a boy down in Kentucky and we served down there, and he used to cheat on tests in school, and he thought that was the right way that you did things because of the home that he was raised in. Teachers out there probably shuddering to think about, oh, some child in my class think it's okay to cheat and copy off someone else. Well, he was raised, he has to learn to do good. You know, that person that got saved now lives a higher life. They have a new loyalty. See, all things are made new. God doesn't give us something old. And we go to secondhand shops and buy clothes there and shoes, and nothing wrong with that. You get some good stuff there. But God doesn't do that. God doesn't go to a secondhand shop and say, well, that's good enough for them. No. God makes all things new. No longer is there loyalty to the devil and to evil. But now the loyalty is to God. Righteousness and holy living. We sing that song, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. We see this is the all of regeneration. We're pressing on the upward way. New desires. God gives you new desires. I'll put my laws and write them in their hearts and in their minds. He makes all things new. There's a new love. Once the world was the person's love and the things of the devil. Now there's a new love for the things of God. When we get saved, he makes all things new. He makes our new outlook on life. Before, and there are some Christians, but before they shudder at death. Oh, and then I've ran into some sinners, and they say, well, I'm not afraid of death. But you know, when the death rattles in their throat, fear overtakes them because the devil's dragging their soul down to hell. There's a new outlook. There's a new uplook. There's a new inlook. Because God makes all things new. When we come to him and ask for forgiveness, a new name, we sing that song, a new name written down in glory. And it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. Do you have that new name written down in glory? Are you on that way? Oh, the old account was settled ago. We sing that old song. The old account settled long ago. Have you settled the account? If you have, then God making all things new. Old things passed away. All things become new. Well, then, the all things that work together, our text verse. It says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. See, it does not say that every little thing is good, but it says they all work together for good. There are many things that happen in life, and that may happen over long periods of time, but God says he will work them together for our good. He doesn't say that all things will work together for all people either, but it's only those who love God and those that are called according to his purpose, those things are going to work together. I see the sinner out there, God works things out to bring them to salvation. But it may not be working. Those things might not be worked together for good. They have the opportunity to come to Christ, but it might be working the other way if they're not careful. But God works all things together good for us that are Christians. Those little individual things might not be good. If you take the individual ingredients of a cake and you taste them, the sugar might taste pretty good, but you take the baking soda, the eggs, and you say, wow, the chocolate. Well, you take that cocoa. It's bitter. It has to be mixed with the sugar. But God works things together for our good. Sometimes we neglect the next verse. It says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. See, the purpose of God working all things together for good is so that we would be like Jesus. We sing that song, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. And God works things together so we can be more like Jesus. All those things are working together to make us more like him. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. The all of things working together is part of that school of learning of and about and from Jesus. Take my yoke and learn of me. The fifth one is the preeminence of Christ. Colossians says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He came into the world. He walked among men. He was crucified and he died. He rose from the dead, conquering death in the grave. Now he stands as the highest figure in the universe. He is preeminent in all things. Now, preeminent means the first, preferred above everything else. He is preeminent in history. See, it's all his story. Jesus said, you think you have salvation in the scriptures, but they are they that testify of me. It is about him. He is preeminent in the Bible. Every book of the Bible is about Jesus or is a shadow of him to come. Leviticus talks about and Exodus talks about the sacrifices and the building of the ark and the temple and all that, tabernacle. But it all represents Jesus Christ, all about him. He is preeminent in all. He is preeminent in nature. The heavens declare the glory of God. The wind and the waves obey him. They operate at his command. When he called the winds to calm and sea, they said, what manner of man is this? He's the preeminent one above all things. He is preeminent in prophecy. Prophecy is about Jesus, his first coming, his second coming, his work, and his reign as king. The all of the preeminence of Jesus Christ. He is all in all. We sing that song, all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give, because he's preeminent in all. He's preeminent in all things. Is he all things to you? The sixth thing is the all new things. Now, we said when we get saved, God makes all things new. That's for us as a Christian that got saved. But here, talking about all new things. Revelation, he says, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said, write, for these words are true and faithful. One day this life is going to be over. One day this world is going to be renovated by fire. Then the eternity of eternities is going to begin. And God is going to make all things new. Now, we say all things, it includes the earth. You're going to make a new heaven, going to make a new earth. New skies, all things, the universe, even our memories. God's going to make the universe. Now, his heaven is perfect. That's why he kicked Satan out of heaven when he rebelled. Jesus said, I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Why? Because he sinned and can't have that in heaven. So you get kicked out of heaven. So when you say all things and that, it's not God's home. It is perfect. But he's going to make the new heaven. The Bible talks about three heavens. God's going to make it all new. A new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. A new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. A new sky. And as I said, even our memories are going to be made new. Some say, why? I like my memories. I enjoy my memories. I love the memories that I have of the past. Memories of family members. Memories of those that we love and the things that we did. We think back. We reminisce on those things. We get together, family get-togethers and reunions and so on like that. And we think back and we talk about all those times that we had. But what about if those people that you're remembering about and they don't make it to heaven? What kind of memory is that going to be? What kind of memory do you have of perhaps someone in your family that got cancer and you saw them waste away? That's not a good memory to think about that. And if one of your loved ones does not make it, it's not a good memory. It would not be a good memory. It would be a sorrowful, a painful memory for us to be in heaven. And to remember, that loved one of ours is in hell right now, asking for someone to dip their finger in some water and touch their tongue because they are tormented in the flames of hell. That would not be very good. So God's going to make all memories new as well. Says there's no tears going to be in heaven. That means that those loved ones that missed heaven because they didn't repent, they will be in hell. If God did not make our memories new, then we would weep over their lost condition. You can't even put it in your mind. You can't even think, what if, and you name the person, they didn't make it. What about them being in hell? And you think about that, and it brings sorrow to your heart and pain to you to think of that loved one being there. And he would cause tears to come to your eyes in heaven. And God says there's no tears in heaven. So God's going to make those memories new. We'll make new memories. Ones that will be of good time, fun time, joy and happiness. But we won't remember those that are lost. They will not be included in those memories. Didn't make it. It will be as if they never existed. They will be wiped from our human memory. We'll cherish the memories that we have of the loved ones that did make it. But those who didn't, we would not have that memory. God will make all things new. There are many other things we could talk about, the alls of God. But these are shared with you this morning, that you might come to Jesus Christ. Let him make all things new in your life. Father, I ask that you would awaken those that are not saved to realize their lostness and come to you. I pray, Father, help all of us to recognize the alls of God. In Christ's name, amen. Yeah.